I'm here today with Carly Kingswood in her offices and really impressed by the stunning views and countryside that surrounds the office. A really nice environment to work in, just on the edge of town. Carly, just tell the listeners a little bit about the early days, because I understand you're born and bred as a Bristol girl.
Yeah, that is very true. So I lived in Bristol. I lived in a couple of parts of Bristol, but we were there till I was 14. And then my parents decided to move to Farrington Gurney, and I was pretty devastated, actually. I'm still quite cross about it now, if I'm honest. Like, I still feel like Bristol is my home.
So prior to that, you obviously went to a local school there in Bristol. Did you make some long-standing friends that you still know today?
I made lots of friends, but in terms of one that I still know today, that would be Emma. Yeah, I see Emma from time to time. We got a dog 2 years ago. In fact, it was her adoption day yesterday, 2 years yesterday, for my son. She's recently got a rescue dog too. And so we met up and had a walk, and she doesn't live too far away. And we don't see each other very often, but when we do, we've never been apart, and she's lush. Love her to bits.
Great. So you moved when you was about 14, but schools must have been a bit of an issue. What sort of schools, or how did you move schools?
We moved from Brislington, and there was a bus stop at Brislington. So my dad still worked in Avonmouth. Sorry for those who don't really know the geography, but long story short, on his way to the lorry, he would drop me off at Brislington, and then I'd then get the bus into school. And then when I was doing my GCSEs, I just got the bus from Farrington directly into Bristol and walked up the hill.
Things must have changed a little bit. I know you're quite young, actually, but things must have changed in the time that you've known this area. You mentioned Avonmouth. There's lots of light industry and business units in and around Midsummer Norton. It's more of a farming area up here or down here. I'm not sure how you call it, you locals. No doubt you've seen quite a bit of change around.
Farrington used to have one farm shop, and it literally sold cake, bread and milk. That was it. Yeah, if we ran out of bread and milk, I'd be sent up the road. So the area, I live in Midsummer Norton now. It's changed. I'd like to see more change in Midsummer Norton, actually. I think it could do with some long overdue regeneration. And they've done some bits that it's definitely a bit prettier, a bit tidier than it was. I'd see a bit more change, if I'm honest.
Yeah. You're too young to remember the railways. It would be nice if we did have some railway transport, but that's another story.
I'd love some better rail links. That would be great. I'm a big fan of public transport.
I have this vision, actually. Wouldn't it be great if we had a monorail system between Bristol, Bath and Wales? It'd all be automatic, and you could just jump on it with a little card. You could go to any of those big towns or cities, I should say. Are you into sort of new, innovative ideas?
Yeah, I'd love that. That sounds like a dream. I'd be well up for that.
Right, so you're now settled in this area, Farrington's, and going to school there. Did you have any idea what you might do as a career?
Well, when I was little, I wanted to be a singer. I wanted to be an actress, but became aware that that was not going to happen. Then when I was at school, I wasn't sure for a bit. And then I really liked the sciences, and I liked English too. I thought, I'd like to be a microbiologist. And I was really fortunate, because it's not what you know, it's who you know. And my friend of a friend of my mum's got me a work experience week at the microbiology lab at the top of the BRI, the Bristol Royal Infirmary. And it was a really fascinating week. But I thought to myself, I absolutely don't want to do this job. We had a sample come in for a child that was downstairs for meningitis. And it was, you have to count how many cells are in these particular grids. It was a case of deciding whether it was bacterial or viral. And one of those is far worse than the other. I don't remember which now. And the lady who brought the swab up had said, oh, I hope it's the worst one, so that you can see what it looks like. And she didn't mean it at all. She didn't mean for that. She was just in the zone trying to show me cool things. And that's the moment I thought, gosh, I don't want to be this side of the lab. I want to be on the ward. And then I thought, what can I do? There was quite a lot. I mean, there's a lot of pressure now, but there was pressure then to decide what you wanted to do. And I thought about going into nursing instead. Then I looked at a few other bits and pieces and decided that I'd go into social work. And that's what I did.
Right. It's interesting that episode where the nurse inadvertently said, oh, I hope this is the worst one. It probably triggered something in your mind that actually I'm thinking of the person that this is from, not wanting it to be the worst thing. Is that something that crossed your mind then?
That was definitely the case. Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking, gosh, there's a child downstairs and some parents, and they're going to find out whether it's a really serious form of meningitis that could leave them with long-term health issues, or it could just be all right. Yeah, I felt sort of there was too much of a disconnect from that.
Would that have touched a nerve because of your Christian faith?
I'd like to think so. I think having empathy is hugely important. Maybe I find empathy easier because ultimately because of my faith.
Now, With medical and cures, they often are led by science, innovation and new discoveries. So you moved into the mental health side of the health service, which to me, as a retired engineer, I can't see, you know, you haven't got a gadget to fix something or you haven't got technology to change things. But it's so important what you do. Just explain a little bit about how you first started in your career there.
So I was doing social work, as I say. I did that for a while, but thought, where do I take this? Because I knew I didn't want to be a manager, because that took you further away from the front line. And I also could feel like that there were I was in a really fantastic team, and I could see that other teams weren't functioning as well, so I wasn't so sure about it. So I just started looking around. To cut a very long story short, I became a play therapist. I was really interested in working with children with what we call attachment difficulties and kind of early traumatisation. I wanted to work with that. That's where the mental health bit came from, was this attachment and traumatisation.
Was that the start of your career? You said earlier on that almost like a work experience to begin with. At what point was it a paid career?
Well, in terms of the therapy, I trained for a year and a half and then was able to start earning some money. I didn't charge very much to start with because I was newly qualified and I was doing some other bits on the side. I was a practice teacher, which meant that I was assessing student social workers for their practice. So I was doing all these bits and pieces, but I wasn't doing an awful lot of work because right while I was doing my dissertation for the play therapy, I became pregnant with our first son. And so I was at home with him doing the best job in the world. But then I retrained much later on as in terms of what I do now. I worked in a couple of different places and really got a lot of experience at that point working with traumatised children and their families. So it wasn't just with the kids, it was with the whole families. And that's what I do now. So that's called dyadic developmental psychotherapy.
Wow. There's obviously a lot going on in this field. I'm sure most people haven't got a clue what's, when I say most people, people like myself just that have got different careers or had different careers. So have you seen a lot of change and a lot of really good improvements, or has it stagnated?
In terms of people's mental health, yeah. So one massive positive change came when the Adoption Support Fund was introduced. The majority of children, not all, but the majority of children I work with are adopted, and their families are adoptive families. And the government brought in the Adoption Support Fund because there had been no funding for therapeutic help for these children at all, who have all experienced very abusive early childhoods. When that was brought in, it was a complete game changer. And suddenly all these very, very needy families had access to therapy. So that was a hugely positive change. I guess the biggest impact on mental health of late has been the pandemic and the lockdowns that went with those.
When you are in the field and you can see what's happening and the work that you do with traumatised children, does your faith come into play here?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think in terms of my work, it's about having hope. And that's what my faith helps me with, is to have hope, because some of the children I work with are really very traumatised.
Is it fair to say that you're encouraged by results that you see?
Yes, I am encouraged by results, and they do happen from time to time. A lot of it is about being in for the long haul, though, with these families. It's very, very often that a child, when they move into adolescence, particularly when they go to secondary school, the world feels much less safe for them. And because of that, we often see a decline in mental health or an increase in very challenging behaviours. That's often when I'm seeing the family through a whole journey of ups and downs, as opposed to being able to, in inverted commas, fix a child, which is never my aim. But that's often the perception, is people think, oh, great, you go see a therapist, you fix a child. But it's more complicated than that.
Well, hopefully it doesn't bring you down when you don't see results. What keeps you positive?
Ooh, hope. And there are seeing families that are able to stay together through some really horrendous stuff, being able to see that love wins, I guess.
You mentioned love, which is intangible in some respects. It's not like for myself as a retired engineer, when you could fix things, you could replace a component. Love must play a key role in a lot of issues that you confronted with trying to manoeuvre your clients. So what's your take on love, in using love in your therapies?
Well, that's a great question, because the answer to it is in the Bible. When I work with kids and when I work with families, I'm dealing with a lot of fear. I'm dealing with tons and tons of fear. Fear for what might happen, fear of children's environments, fear of relationships. The opposite of love isn't hate, it's fear. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. For me, that's it's at the heart of what I'm doing.
Another area of the work you do come under the heading of fostering. Perhaps you can just explain to the listeners about fostering.
Yeah, well, when you mentioned earlier that by that point in my career, I'd had two children. I actually had three because we were fostering one. And our family fostered for 10 years. We fostered two children from completely different backgrounds. We fostered Lisa for 3.5 years and then another young person for 4.5 years.
Not only have you got the academic qualifications, but you've got the practical skills because you've got family, you've done fostering. I would say that your career must be blossoming. Is you must be able to teach or tutor new people in this field.
Yeah, I do a lot of training around the area of what we call therapeutic parenting, which is about parenting a child according to their needs, which sounds very basic, but it's jolly hard work. But I do tons of training on that. And I've actually just co-wrote a book on that. So that's pretty awesome.
Right. Oh, you've written a book. Perhaps you can just tell the listeners. I understand it's not published just yet, but they can perhaps pre-order. Perhaps tell the listeners what it's called and a little bit what it's about.
Okay, a bit of a mouthful, but what it says is what it's about. The Unofficial Guide to Therapeutic Parenting for Childhood Aggression and Violence.
If it's not a silly question, who is it aimed at?
Any parent at all who is parenting a child who, through their own trauma or through any form of distress, expresses that through aggression or violence.
You seem to be at the top of your career and very, very busy as well. I'm just wondering, do you have time for yourself and obviously your family? What sort of interests do you have?
I love to run. I did a half marathon. I've done a couple of half marathons recently, which was painful, but really, really good fun. I love to hang out with my kids and my mates and my family. I love to eat great food. I like a cheeky gin and tonic. And we love travel as a family. We really love to travel.
When it comes to running, you mentioned running just then, does that give you an opportunity just to sort of meditate and think on life in general?
It is where I make all my best decisions. It's where I do all my processing, all my thinking, some of my praying. Yeah, for sure. It's literally a godsend.
You mentioned your family, and I know your daughter's very keen on football, so you're probably one of her biggest supporters.
Yeah, of course I am. Yeah, she's ace. Yeah, she absolutely loves football. She plays for her school, she plays for a local team, and she avidly supports Manchester City. Not, as someone put it the other day, because of Erling Haaland, but actually because of the women's team, because of Ellen White, who was a real inspiration to her.
So as a mum, when you're on the sidelines, are you quite a respectful lady? You're not getting aggressive with the other mums?
No, not at all. I'm very respectful, but I do like to have a good shout sometimes as well.
You mentioned also you're a foodie, or I'm not sure what the real term is. And so is your husband, Dave. Just got any experiences there you can share with the listeners?
Yeah, so I got proper huge wife points for Dave's 40th birthday, quite a while ago now. I managed to get us a booking at the Osteria Francescana in Modena, Italy, which at the time was the number one restaurant in the world, and it was amazing.
So was that a complete surprise to him? Because being in Italy, you've got to fly out there.
Yeah, so he opened, so to speak, the gift on his birthday. He the airline tickets were there, the hotel booking was there. Yeah, and our booking, I printed out the reservation, so he opened that on his birthday.
So it was just the two of you. You didn't take the kids with you?
No, didn't take the kids to that one. Although I'd love to go back with the kids now. They're older. They're both teenagers. So yeah, they like good food too. So I think at least I'd like to do it. It's something like that at some point in the future.
You haven't got any funny stories, have you, about eating in restaurants or things that you might have ordered in error?
I don't know. I accidentally recently ate some tofu, which was in a dish that I was served. And I find it really, really difficult because I despise tofu.
It sounds to me you're at the top of what you've been doing. Do you feel as though, you know, I've really reached what I was aiming to achieve?
I don't think I've ever thought. I'm really bad at that in terms of planning for the future. And in terms of, I'm not an ambitious person, I would say. I think I'm definitely where I'm meant to be. I'm definitely doing a job that I'm good at. I guess I'll just, my plan is just to keep doing it.
That sounds as though you're comfortable where you're at, and perhaps faith plays an important role in this.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes when we talk about God having a plan for our life, I think that's true, but I also think he gives us loads and loads of choice within that. There's not one plan. There are many plans. We get to be kind of autonomous within that. And I'm really grateful that my life went this way. My job is really hard, but I also love it. That in terms of planning for the future, it will be a case of me working hard to recognise when it is time to stop or when it is time to do something different because of the levels of trauma that's involved. But right now, yeah, I feel like I'm where I'm meant to be.
Right, we've spoken about your interests. How about things like music?
Yeah, there's constantly music playing in our house. I love music. I remember being a little girl. I come from a massive family. I had loads and loads of cousins. And this one cousin and I in particular used to go up, even child of the 80s, we used to go up to her bedroom and record any songs onto a cassette tape that we really, really loved. And we would play at Top of the Pops and we would try and recreate music videos and Donna and Prince and, yeah, all kinds of artists. So it started off really early on. And my parents would always drive around with music, usually reggae and Tamla Motown, but their music taste is really important to them, is pretty eclectic like mine. So I think I've got them to thank for that.
You mentioned Top of the Pops. Is that where you perhaps wanted to be in the theatre or acting sort of? Because you mentioned earlier on that you was perhaps interested in doing something like that.
Yeah, I always loved singing. I just joined my school choir. The head of music there had us sing in twos and threes. And then he sort of singled me out and said, I need you to do it solo. And I had no idea that I could sing. And there I was doing this solo. So I sort of wanted it from that point of view. But yeah, I loved listening to music, loved singing along.
Do you do singing now?
No.
Is it something you could do? Or you're not motivated?
A few of us, not wholly from church, but a few of us from church were in a band a while back, like a really long time ago. But I don't know if I've got time.
So you're playing music in your car probably all the time as well?
Always music in the house, in the car, on my runs. I have different playlists for different artists or different genres, or I've got a running playlist, for example. I've got a chilling out playlist. Yeah, all sorts.
So you probably went to concerts when you were younger.
Yeah, I went to my first one when I was 16, and that was to watch Skunk Anansie with my ex-boyfriend in Cardiff.
And were they recently playing?
Yeah, I went back. I've seen them twice since in Bristol, but the most recent was actually this year. I went with a mate of mine.
Oh, good. I picked up on something you just said. You've got quite a large family, brothers and sisters and cousins. I'm not sure. You perhaps tell the listeners.
So my mum's mum, my granny, had 12 children, and my mum is the youngest of those 12. My dad's got a couple of siblings as well. There are a lot of cousins. I don't know how many cousins I've got.
They're all over the place. They're not necessarily around here. Perhaps they're abroad now.
Actually, they're all in Bristol.
Well, it's a good place, Bristol, isn't it? Yeah. Right, well, when it comes to things like shopping or going on holiday and mooching around little gift shop, antique shops, pottery shops, anything that catches your eye?
Yeah, well, when I'm abroad, I've got a total magpie eye for anything pottery and jewellery. In fact, I'm wearing a ring. This is one of my favourite rings, and it's a replica of the Phaistos stone, which is from the Minoan civilization. You can see it in a museum in Crete. It's got all kinds of markings on it, both sides in the museum. You can see the whole thing, but no one has ever figured out what the translation for that is. And I've loved that, and I relate that back a bit to my faith. It's like there are so many questions unanswered. There are so many things that we don't understand, and there's so much I'm not sure of. But the things that I am sure of are enough.
I'm just looking at it now. And just to describe to listeners, if you can imagine a 5-pence piece folded and bent round the edges and smoothed off and put onto a ring so it fits on a finger. And I can't see all the detail, but it resembles a QR code, all the dots and dashes inside and the engraving. So you like picking up things like this on your travels?
Whenever I go somewhere new, I try and bring back usually a piece of pottery. Sometimes I'll treat myself to a little piece of jewellery, but usually I'll try and bring something back from wherever we've travelled.
So you've probably got a house full of knickknacks and bits and pieces, and so you know where they all are. You don't just put them in a drawer.
Yeah, I've definitely, they're out on display, especially the pottery stuff. We've got a beautiful painting as well from which we got from South Korea, which is done in a very traditional style. You see, if you go to houses, if you go to restaurants in South Korea, you see lots and lots of this particular type of painting that's held up by these wooden scroll. We've got one of those, and as a family, we love to travel. So it's always a really lovely reminder of the places we've been.
Right, so now travel is a lot easier this year than it has been for perhaps the last 2 years. Have you got plans this year to go somewhere?
I'm off to Koz. We have been to Koz before, but yeah, we're going back to the place that we were before because it's just so, it's great, it's so beautiful, and it's got ancient ruins there, which I love moseying around. I find it really different in Europe, the things that are kind of the ancient history, it's much more accessible. It's not behind glass. You can just wander around and marvel at it all. I love it.
Yes, it's incredible to think how far back the history of that place goes. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. The weather, I'm sure, will be great.
I'll be taking my copy of Mythos and rereading that because I love all the ancient stories that were told over in that time.
Carly, it's been really good talking to you and hearing your story. And I'd just like to thank you for your time.
You're really welcome, Malcolm.
If there's anything that Carly has mentioned in this interview that you'd like more information on, such as the Adoption Support Fund, fostering, or the release of the new book that she's co-written, I'm sure that Carly would only be too happy to talk to you about it.